Hour number two, Extra Point Show, Joe DiBiase, Bills training camp continues. Practice right now, actually, at St. John Fisher. Stephon Diggs, by the way, if you missed the update, was not on the field at the beginning of practice. We were all kind of wondering, like, what's up with that? Injury, something? He is on the field. He's in sweats, though, so it just looks like veteran rest day. So that's the update on Diggs. Joe DiBiase, Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio checking in along the way as well. We'll get more updates on the Bills after practice wraps up in the next half hour. Let's continue to bounce around the AFC South, though, a little bit. We talk Colts on Monday. Let's get a scoop on the Titans. Teron Davenport covers the Titans for ESPN, joining me now on the Wester Hotline. Hey, Teron, thanks. Always appreciate you coming on the station. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me.
So what's the biggest storyline right now at camp for Tennessee? Is it Burks not being listed as a starter? Is it Malik Willis? I don't know. For you, what's the headliner when you think of what's happened to Titans camp so far?
Yeah, it's a combination of the two. I'll go with Burks for right now just because there was a tweet that was misconstrued and people suddenly think that he's a reserve and he's out of shape and a bunch of other things that aren't true. So I'm going to go with Treylon Burks. He wasn't able to finish his first practice, a rookie minicamp, and then he wasn't available for minicamp, but he lost 6 pounds between minicamp and training camp, and he's had a solid camp. He's stacked days. He's working with Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, he's going to work with the second and third units and Logan Woodside and Malik Willis because those are the quarterbacks he's going to catch from in the preseason. Oh, and he's returning punts as well. So Burks is actually in better shape than what people are outside looking in, assuming, and that to me is the biggest story.
I'm curious why that's happening, right? Like, Chris Olave, for instance, the first round receiver that the Saints took out of Ohio State, he was listed as a backup, and I don't even think I knew about that until this morning, and that happened like 3 days ago. But Treylon Burks is listed as a backup, and everyone's talking about, you know, is he out of shape? And I wonder, like, why do we think that's happening, Teron? Is it go back to him being just a polarizing prospect in the first place? Does it have maybe something to do with when he left that OTA practice on the first day? Like, I don't know. Why do you think it's happening with Burks and not so much with some of these other rookie receivers?
Well, yeah, that's primarily what it is. He really struggled on the first day of rookie minicamp. Like, he didn't make it through. He had to go back into the building, use an inhaler. They put ice on his neck to kind of cool him off. And then he came back out, he practiced a little bit, but really didn't see much from him. And then he wasn't even on the field for minicamp itself. So that precedent was set, but, you know, those who are there every day and watching him every snap, he's jogging, I mean, running back to the huddle after a long route, he's running down the field to dig out DBs for the running backs when they run, he's in shape. There's no issue there.
So A.J. Brown gets traded in the offseason. They draft Burks. They also, people forget, they traded for Robert Woods, too, who we know well from his time here in Buffalo. Is it going to look different? The kind of, what, they've had a primary number one receiver in A.J. Brown. Does it feel like this season it might be split more and they almost have like a 1A, 1B where, you know, like when the Bills play a team with an elite receiver, Teron, will be, all right, who's Tre'Davious White shadowing? Does it feel like the Titans just are going to have two guys that are kind of going to lead the way that on targets?
I think it's going to be split pretty evenly, and it's actually going to extend to the tight ends as well. Austin Hooper was their big free agent signing, and he's someone that I think is going to really step up in the passing game. So between those three, and then you got a rookie out of UCLA by the name of Kyle Phillips, and he's a very shifty guy, very reliable. Even though he's not big, pretty good catch radius. He'll go up and get the football. So that's another option. So I think it's going to be pretty spread.
Teron Davenport on the Wester Hotline, at @TDavenport_NFL, by the way, if you want to follow him on Twitter for some Titan scoops. How about the quarterbacks? Tannehill, obviously, is going to be the starter and probably will be for a while, at least into the season. I don't know, can you foresee a situation where Willis comes in, or would it only be, in your opinion, due to injury?
Yeah, I think due to injury. Really, for Willis, it's just kind of like a ground-up experience for them right now. They're literally going from the ground up, mechanics, the operation, getting in and out of the huddle, flipping your shoulders, turning your back to the defense on play action and flipping your shoulders back around and relocating what's going on and where to go with the football. It's really, like I said, a ground up development process. I would be surprised if he plays this year. Now, there could be a little package, you know, that they could install to mm-hmm. utilize his ability, but that's about it. Ryan Tannehill has actually looked sharp in camp, and I think he's going to have a pretty solid year, and injuries aside, he should be the guy for the season.
Are there moments at practice where Willis's athleticism has been jumping off the page, the arm strength, the speed? Like, has there been, like, wow plays with him at camp?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was one low red zone 7-on-7, and he kind of rolled to his left a little bit, and he was on the left hash, and he threw it from that left hash to the back right pylon to Terry Godwin, and I'm talking about put it on a rope for a touchdown. And I was just like, yo, that's a throw. And then even a couple of days ago, he had a really nice anticipation throw where, you know, everybody says these quarterbacks, right, that have to win from the pocket. And that's exactly what he did. He dropped back, his back foot hit that third step, and he released a beautiful seam route to Dez Fitzpatrick before he broke towards the inside hash, and it was well placed. And those are a couple of throws that stood out to me.
What else is different about the Titans this season? I mean, is the plan to kind of just recreate what they had last year and hope for better results in the playoffs? Like, it feels like kind of the blueprint is pretty similar to what, you know, what viewers would have seen out of them last year.
Yeah, the blueprint is essentially going to be give Derrick Henry the football and let him do what he does and play off of that. So that's where the play action comes into play. I will say this. They are hitting on some deep passes, and I asked Ryan Tannehill about that, and he said that's just more or less, you know, how things are going, where his reads are taking him. But he has connected with a guy by the name of Racy McMath, who was behind Terrence Marshall, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson at LSU. And he's a 6'3", 220-pound guy, 4.3 speed, and he's using that running down the field. So I would say that's the difference there. Some downfield shots, but they're going to need the protection to be able to do that, and they didn't have that last year.
What is the bar set for the Titans this year? Is it win the division? I mean, it seems like it's mostly them versus the Colts, given that the Texans and Jaguars seem to be miles behind. Maybe you disagree with that, but that's usually the conception on them. Is it just win the division, beat out the Colts, home playoff game, and that's kind of the minimum for what would be labeled success?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're looking to do. I mean, success to them is a Super Bowl. Let's not get that twisted. But if you talk to the coaches, the players, they'll tell you right now, you know, they want to win the division. And then that gives them, you know, the ability to get in the playoffs. They want to host a playoff game. And, you know, once you get into that postseason, that contest, anything goes. And that's how they're looking at it.
From your perspective, how different are the Colts? How much more of a threat are they, Matt Ryan at the helm now instead of Carson Wentz?
Well, I think you have someone who will be a little more consistent at the quarterback position, take what the defense gives and not, you know, consistently try to play that hero ball and have the turnovers. I think that's the main difference. You get Jonathan Taylor another year in the mix, and now he's an established player, so I think that'll help. Yannick Ngakoue coming off the edge would be interesting. So I think they're going to be good. I think the Titans overall have a better roster, and I think they win the division.
Last thing for you, Tron Davenport, ESPN Titans reporter on the Westsur Hotline. The Bills came out with their first depth chart the other day, and there's two former Titans offensive linemen that are listed as starters. I think we had you on maybe right after free agency to talk about Roger Saffold. They signed David Questenberry, too. I don't think anyone was necessarily expecting him to beat out Spencer Brown at right tackle, and that might still not happen, but there certainly seems to be a competition there. I don't know, if two-fifths of the Titans O-line from last year start for the Bills, shouldn't Bills fans kind of expect we should be better, not that we need to because they want to be throwing it, shouldn't you kind of expect that the Bills would be better running the football if they have two pieces of the Titans O-line from last season?
Yeah, well, see, with Quisenberry, you get a very fundamental football. You know, he's technique-wise very sound. He was a guy, a lot of times they were used to demonstrate the techniques that they wanted, Coach Keith Carter and Mike Sullivan, the offensive line staff. But I think with Saffold, the main thing is just a people mover. He will move people out of the way, and it's almost like, you know, a bouncer in a club. You know, that's what he would tell me. You know, he was like a bouncer in a club, no white t-shirts, and it'll escort you out if you got one on. So the running game is going to be better. I think pass pro is, that's where Roger Saffold stands to improve, and that was one of the reasons they moved on in addition to saving that $10 million.
Love it. All right, Teron Davenport. For more Titans information, at @TDavenport_NFL on Twitter, or you can check out his stuff at ESPN.com, especially if you go right to the Titans page, stuff's all over it. Teron, thanks again for joining me, man. Always appreciate you coming on, and maybe we'll chat again once the season gets rolling.
Yeah, for sure. See you guys week two.
Appreciate it. That's right, week all two, right. Monday Night Football. All right, we got some good Titans information there. Got some good Patriots information today as well. The Bills are currently practicing, and I don't think we've got any other serious updates right now. Diggs not practicing, but seems like it's just a veteran rest day. No sign of an injury. No talk of an injury. So should be good on that front. I like getting the scoop on Quisenberry and Saffold. I think I don't need to see the Bills run the ball more. Better, fine. Better, fine. More, no. They also maybe damaged the Titans a little bit by doing that. The Titans, you heard Teron there, their blueprint is give the ball to Derrick Henry. It's part of the reason why I don't think this season's going to go well for them. I've thrown these stats out a couple of times. It still amazes me that these are true. Because Henry was on his way to a seemingly legit, like historically good season. He was going to run for 2,000 yards, 20 touchdowns. He was carrying that team. But was he actually better than replacement level? Because there's lots of evidence now, tons and tons of evidence through the years, that your running back is actually secondary to whether or not your run game is successful. Your O-line is most important. Even your pass game, your pass offense, and backing the defense off is as important as who the running back is. And last year, just look at the numbers. Not 1,000 yards, right? In half a season. And you go, wow, Derrick Henry was incredible last season. They could have gone even further had he not got hurt. And it might sound blasphemous to say he was below replacement level, but he quite literally was for the Titans, because his replacements last year were more efficient than he was. Derrick Henry last year in 2021, including the playoff game, he had 239 rush attempts for 999 yards, 4.1 yards per attempt. 4.18 yards per attempt. The other four running backs that got carries for the Titans last season, Deonta Foreman, Jeremy McNichols, Dontrell Hilliard, and Adrian Peterson, all four, they got off the street at different times in the last year or two. Off the street free agent running backs. 261 carries, 1,200 yards, 4.67 yards per attempt. And that group had more average defenders in the box. So the scheme they were playing, it's not like, oh, the defense decided to throw an extra cornerback out there without Derrick Henry. No. Henry actually saw basically the same, or the replacement saw the same. That's all I see when I see Tennessee. I see your blueprint is to force feed a running back that was quite literally below replacement level last year. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I think what might very well happen is they realize, Derrick Henry's not worth building an offense around. All right, Tannehill, go get him. Suddenly, your formula to get a good, to get an efficient Ryan Tannehill with lots of play action and light secondaries because the other team thinks you're going to run the ball all the time. Suddenly, that Tannehill has to go into the shotgun and throw the ball 30 plus times a game. And we saw that Tannehill in Miami. It doesn't work. So I don't like their plan A, and I don't really think they have a plan B. If anything, I think their plan B is Malik Willis. I'm not sure they'll ever get to it, but I think if you're the Titans, striking lightning in a bottle with Malik Willis, that's it. How do you be a Super Bowl contender? I think that's your path. I don't think it's all that likely. He's a third-round pick. He's not very polished. Probably isn't ready to start right away, but I think that's what you got to do. Eventually, if the season starts to go sideways. I'm not saying start in week one, but I'm not a Titans guy this year. I think the Colts will win that division. Who the Bills will see on Saturday. I think the Colts will win that division because they can run the ball as well and honestly even better than the Titans do with Jonathan Taylor and their O-line, Quentin Nelson leading the way. But when they've got to drop back to pass, who do you trust more? I trust the Frank Reich-coached offense that's got Matt Ryan at quarterback and a very good receiver in Michael Pittman. I trust that more than I trust Tannehill, Burks, who I didn't like as a prospect in the first place. I do like Robert Woods, but coming off a major injury. So that's where I'm at in the Titans. I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to have a losing record, and it could go real sideways real quick. In this conference, especially this year, the Bills leading the way, the Chiefs there, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Broncos now, the Raiders, the Ravens, you've got, when the time comes to throw the football, you've got to keep up. You've got to be able to trade blows with the best of the best. You have to be capable of trading blows with the best of the best. I even included Baltimore in there. Baltimore has, to me, done a pathetic job of building a passing offense around Lamar Jackson. They don't even try. But Jackson, he can engage into Superman mode. He did it like four times last year. With all those injuries on the Ravens, there were three or four games Lamar Jackson just took over. Even on that team, and I think they are clueless with how to play in today's NFL on offense, they have a quarterback that can take a game over. And all those other teams I mentioned with star quarterbacks, they could put 40 up on you at any moment. They could throw 80-yard bombs over your head at any moment. And you're going to that fight with Ryan Tannehill? You can't do it. Matt Ryan, you know, maybe you can hang around for a little bit. I don't think you're going to win that battle all that much, but you can hang. Ryan Tannehill? Maybe there's not. Am I giving too much credit to Ryan? Is there that big a difference between Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill? In my mind, there is. In my mind, Matt Ryan is a better quarterback that I trust more. So maybe that's wrong. Maybe there's not that big a gap between the two, even if I like Matt Ryan more. But that's just, it's part of it's the coaching, too, I guess. Reich versus a Vrabel-led team. 803-0550 is the phone number. Take a timeout here. When we come back, we will hear from Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. So stay tuned for that. And if we get any more updates on practice and Diggs' status, but again, not thinking that that is going to be anything serious, we will bring you up to speed. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, we're all hanging out, Bills training camp. I'm in the studio today, Bills practice today and tomorrow before getting to the preseason on Saturday. Coverage of Bills training camp on WGR. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Northtown Kia, the number one certified pre-owned Kia dealer in the Eastern region. Shop northtownkia.com. Leslie Frazier on the way next here on WGR. Hey, Extra Point Show rolling along here on a Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. 803-0550 to jump in. Just saw a story and was reading through. Headline, NFL, Amazon have plenty of work to do to increase awareness of Thursday Night Football streaming. Is there a problem with people thinking it's going to be on free TV? Do they not know what Amazon is? Because maybe that's the thing. I don't want to be insulting. You might think Amazon Prime is a channel, but there's no channel. So, you know what? All right, PSA to those listening out there that might not have Amazon or even use Amazon. Hey, that's tough, though, isn't that? It's tough to not know what Amazon is now.
My grandpa definitely did not know what Amazon Prime was, and he's a big Yankees fan.
Really?
So half of their games are like on Amazon Prime now.
Oh, okay.
And he can't watch them, so he's like super upset about it because he doesn't own a computer. So,
listen, it's the biggest company in the world, right? It's got to be. Bezos is the richest man in the world, so it's got to be the biggest company. It's tough to not know what it is. You might know what it is and just not have it. But this story is basically making it seem like people think it's a channel. Maybe that's right. I'm reading now. A recent poll commissioned by Cumulus Media and Westwood One shows that not nearly enough ardent football fans and non-ardent football fans are aware that the Thursday night game has exited traditional over-the-air TV and landed on a provider that requires reliable high-speed internet service and the purchase of Amazon Prime. Per the poll, only 23% of all Americans 18 years or older are aware that Thursday Night Football will be available only on Amazon. That's it? 77% don't know that? I guess it hasn't happened yet, so maybe I shouldn't be so surprised by this. That once the game turns on, people will go looking for it and realize, wait, it's on what? I gotta do what? That might be a real thing, that people are gonna show up for. Not the Bills opener. The Bills opener is not this. That is not technically a Thursday night football game. It's the NFL season opener. It's different. So that week two Thursday game, maybe that's right. A lot of people will show up for that and not realize. All right, let's get to St. John Fisher. Leslie Frazier, Bills defensive coordinator, meeting with the media before today. Some good stuff on Christian Bedford. Villanova cornerback, 6th-round pick of the Bills. He's been turning some heads. So some good stuff on him and the defense as a whole with Coach Frazier. Here he is.
Good morning, everybody. We're winding down camp now with a couple days left here at St. John's Fisher. I think it's been a really good camp for us. Gotten a lot accomplished in the days that we've had, and there's still a lot more work to be done, obviously. And I think our guys are looking forward to today's practice. The weather's going to be good again, and should be a spirited practice after a day off. And we need to work for sure. So,
Coach, as much as you review the practice tape, get a feel for how guys are playing off one another, on your defensive unit, how much more valuable is the preseason game tape going to be for you to make those kinds of evaluations?
Yeah, Chris, for sure the preseason games are extremely important because now you see them in real-time situations similar to what they're going to experience in a regular season game for some guys. And then the fact that for some, this is the one view that you get. There are some guys that are fighting for roster spots, and you want to see them in that atmosphere in a game situation. And it helps you determine, where that guy's going to be and how he might be able to help you once the regular season begins. So, these games are very, very important as much because of the atmosphere and see how they execute in those situations under the lights makes a difference.
The D-line in particular, is it some of the best evidence you have in finding the combinations you're looking for?
It can be. Some of it is for us just seeing individual performances also. And you're also trying to, gel as a group. But at this stage, you really want to be able to evaluate guys' individual performance. And then the next step is some of the things that we do as a unit. But you're trying to evaluate individuals right now to see where they fit, on your roster. And in this case, our defensive line.
Leslie, what has allowed Christian Benford to be able to be getting the opportunities that he's been getting in practice?
He's really been active around the ball and has a chance to get his hands on a lot of balls. And when he's had opportunities, he's made some plays. And You know, it's still early in the process. You know, we haven't played a preseason game yet. But when we drafted him, we saw a guy who we didn't think the game was too big for and that it wouldn't be that case when he came to the NFL. We liked his transition. We liked his toughness. We liked how poised he played. And a lot of those things that we saw when we were evaluating him, we're seeing them now in training camp. And, you know, it's a process, so you just got to continue to go through the process and watch how he develops. You know, I really like a lot of things that Kyrie has been doing for us. The improvement from the spring to what we're doing in training camp. It's such a big transition from college football to professional football. So both he and Christian have done a really good job in not let the game become too big for him. Kyrie in particular, you still see that willingness to get down and get in the face of receivers like he did in college. You know, not afraid to get down and play press coverage. But he's learning the other part of the game, being able to play off, because we do other things in our defense other than play press, and he's really growing in that area. So I've been really impressed with his mental toughness and his coachability. That's a big deal, Matt, when you're trying to bring a guy along and hopefully prepare him to have a good season for you in his rookie year. And he's been very coachable, and his knowledge of the game and his maturity has really jumped off.
For
sure. I mean, for Quan, you know, he's been a guy who has excelled for us on special teams. He's a guy that Matt Spiley really relies on, one of our four core special teams guys. But at the same time, as you mentioned, this is one of those guys who feels like he's capable of playing in the secondary as well. And when he's had some opportunities, although there haven't been many, when he has had opportunities to play in games, he's done a good job for us. And now, because of the injury to Jordan, he's getting more reps, and he's showing that he's more than capable, if he's called upon to have to play extended period of time, that he can get the job done. So it's been really good to watch him and his professionalism through this process, knowing that I'm playing behind two really, really good safeties and understanding my role. One of the things that Sean always talks to the players about, you know, just doing your 1-11th and really understanding your role on the team. Well, Jaquan has been one of those guys who has exemplified, I understand my role, and I'm going to stay within my role, but when my opportunity comes, I'm going to show you that I'm capable of really holding down the safety position if I get an opportunity.
Have
so,
have you had to talk to him about, you know, keeping your head up, be patient, and not let it get to you? Have you had to have those conversations through the years with him?
Yeah, over the years. Of late, no, because in the spring as well as here in training camp, he's gotten a ton of reps. But over the years, yeah, you have to encourage guys like himself, and we have some others in a similar situation, and you don't want them to get discouraged. I mean, they still have to be pros and really work hard, and Jaquan has done a great job of that.
How often do you check in with Tre'Davious White? It's human nature to say every 15 minutes. Every quarterback that's a star, you'd be checking in on him. But do you check in on him pretty regularly as he's kind of trying to get back on the field?
Every 10 minutes, Josh. Every 10 minutes. Not 15. That's too long. No, I do check in from time to time and see how he's doing. And, I mean, he's such a key part of our defense and our team. And, you know, you want to know how he's doing. And not just from a physical standpoint, which you hear from the trainers and the doctors, but also from a mental standpoint as well and emotionally. So he's in a good place mentally, and he's working his tail off physically. So hopefully it's just a matter of time before he's back out there with us.
Leslie, when it comes to Ed Oliver, how much influence have you seen Eric Washington have on his development? Jordan Phillips spoke to that and said he's seen that since he's left and came back. But how much influence has Eric had on that?
I think Eric deserves a lot of credit for Ed's maturation over the last year or so. And I think the last time we were here, we had a chance to reference where the biggest improvement has come with Ed, and it's really from the neck up. And Eric identified that early on when he began to work with Ed. He saw the physical talent, saw the tools that he had to work with, And the next step was to get him to understand situational football, the difference between first and 10 and, say, second and 12, or third and 3 versus third and 9, you know, what might come from that and how to study tape, I mean, all those kind of things. So the physical talent was there, but how can I get him to think through the game and understand how things change based on the situation? And Eric has done a terrific job of not only helping him from a physical standpoint, but helping him from a mental standpoint as well. Not necessarily. I think it's just the individual. I mean, there are obviously guys from Power 5 schools who come to the NFL and excel in their own right, and there are some that don't do as well. And there are guys from small schools who excel, and there are others that don't do as well. So I think it's the individual and, you know, what lies behind that chest cavity and what kind of grit does he have. So Christian is one of those guys who's a tough-minded player. Practices with a chip on his shoulder, and so does Taryn, and they feel like they have something to prove every single day, but I wouldn't say that's any different than Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, he's the same way. Micah Hyde practices that way, Jordan Poirier. So I don't know if it has anything to do with big school, small school as much.
Leslie, with those three young corners, Kair, Christian, and Dane all lying for time, I mean, because they're relatively inexperienced, is it maybe more of an emphasis to get them reps earlier in preseason to see what you have as opposed to, like, all these other positions are mostly established?
Yeah, it's going to be important, Joe, to try to get as many views as possible and put them in as many situations as we can, and we're trying to do that in practice. But for sure, the games are the next step. And so we want to put them out there and just see how they perform. It's such a critical piece to our success on defense. In our league, which is a passing league, if you struggle on the back end, it can make it really tough to get what you want out of your front. So when teams are able to be two-dimensional, you know, balanced, it's hard. It's hard from a defensive standpoint. So we got to put them out there, get a lot of views, and then make a good decision by the time we get to September 8th. Potentially. You know, we're still going through that. We're going to talk about it some this afternoon and tomorrow as well.
Leslie, when you were a player before you became a Super Bowl champion, the team had a pretty tough playoff loss there. What did you take from that loss, and do you see any parallels with what you're seeing here at Buffalo?
Yeah, you're right. I remember a tough loss we had on the road in San Francisco the year before we won the championship, and it hurt, man. It hurt a lot. We really felt like going to that game, we were going to win that game, and we were the better team, and it just didn't work out. And I remember the plane ride, myself and my teammates, how disappointed we were, but also it was a motivator to come back the next season, really understanding how much of a grind it was and how hard it was to win a championship. And it kind of opened our eyes a little bit. Can I say that there are similarities with our team? Maybe. You know, we got some strong leaders on our team, and I know it sits in their crawl that we haven't gotten to the point where we want to get to, and that's getting to that Super Bowl and then winning the Super Bowl, because it's one thing to get there, you want to win it. But I think our guys are really motivated, but it's a process, you know. Even that next year when we did win it, we didn't really hit on all cylinders until probably mid-season, and then we were rolling from there. So there are going to be some growing pains. You just want to know that you're tough enough as a group to fight through those moments where you're not winning 30-0, because there are going to be some nip and tuck games where you got to win in the fourth quarter, and you got to be talented enough but mentally tough enough to be able to do that as well.
Leslie, so, in that sense, when you see the sign, the banner up there, find a way, does that feed into the message? Hasn't found that way yet?
Well, it's important, John, to have that mentality. Just find a way to win. You know, no matter how you do it, it may not satisfy the critics if you win by 1 point to a team that they deem is not worthy of being up against you. And you can't get caught up in that. You just got to find a way to win in our league. It's a tough, tough league to win in. But just that mentality is a big deal. Find a way. Somehow, some way, find a way.
Well, you mentioned it's still early here in the process, training camp, preseason. the way as opposed to not dismissing things that have happened the first 2 weeks, but is this really where you dial in and these plays and the performance matter most?
I don't want to say matter most, John, because it is cumulative. I mean, the things we did back in the spring, they were very, very important as we were trying to lay the foundation, in our case, for our defense and how we do things and, you know, how we communicate, how we practice, developing chemistry. And then when you come to training camp, the physicality that you get that you don't get in the offseason, that part of it as well, it's important. And then the next step, how you perform in actual games, you know, when it matters the most. So it's a process, and each step is important in that process. So I don't want to dismiss, as you mentioned, the things that we did back in the spring or what we're doing now. It's cumulative. Some guys are gamers, though. There are some guys who don't perform quite as well sometimes in practice, and they get out in the game, you go like, man, this guy makes a lot of plays. And you got to be aware of that as well. Yeah, he has, Matt. He's shown ability, and he has to be able to play multiple spots. We drafted him with that in mind, being able to play both inside and outside in case we got an injury. And we look at Terrell Dotson the same way, and the league is really becoming that way. You need guys that are versatile because of the chance of injury, and you don't want to be pigeonholed. And Terrell has shown that he can do both. And although he's listed as a backup, Mike, we want him to be able to play some will in a pinch as well. And you know, he's developing in that area. And we thought he could. We thought he was smart enough. It was just a matter of athletically if he would fit, and he's shown that he can.
What's Bobby been like as a linebacker's coach? And I guess Jimmy being the secondary coach, what's that been like for you in watching those guys in new roles?
Yeah, they're both doing a terrific job, Sal. Their familiarity with our players definitely makes a difference, the fact that the guys already have had a rapport with them prior to their switching positions. And they both seem to have really gelled with their groups. They both know the defense. They have a great knowledge of what we're trying to get accomplished. And the fact that they had built-in relationships with the players has made the transition pretty smooth.
Leslie, what is it like to have a player in the defense who kind of elevates the confidence level of everybody else? And talking to Von Miller, it seems like the defensive line is really playing within different types of pressure. And it seems like the defensive line is really playing with a different type of confidence during this training camp.
Yeah. Well, so much of what we do, Matt, is confidence, because everybody's talented, and there are going to be things that happen in ball games that can affect that confidence, and you got to be able to remain confident when things aren't going the way you want them to go. And to have a guy like Von, who's achieved so much, so to have a guy like that encouraging you and showing you the way, that increases your confidence, not only for the players but the coaches as well, to see a guy like him lined up on the field, and you just know that, and you're feeling confident that he's going to find a way to make a play, maybe to turn the tide when things aren't going right. So it means a lot, you know, having a guy with his talent, but also playing with a great deal of confidence that kind of spreads throughout the defense. All right, thank you.
All right, there's Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. Bills practice is wrapped up. We'll give you one final update before we get out of here at 12. So one more segment, and then we'll get you off to Sabres Live here in WGR. All right, a couple of updates before we get out of here. The backup center for Tampa. Remember, Ryan Jensen lost for the season a couple weeks ago? Well, they lose now Robert Hainsey, who was their number two center. So the Buccaneers are out of centers. He got hurt, carted off today. Russell Gage got hurt, their wide receiver. They are just injury after injury after injury piling up for Tampa. Also, just saw this from Nick Veronica, who is at WIVB in Buffalo. He tweets, former NFL running back and former Bills running back Frank Gore has been arrested on a charge of assault stemming from a domestic incident in New Jersey. So that will be something to keep track of, I guess, as well. Marshawn Lynch, last night, driving under the influence, was driving without a tire, So that's two former Bills running backs in the last 24 hours that have both gotten into it with the law. So we'll see what comes of those. All right, that's it for us today here on the Extra Point Show. Sabres Live next. More from Bills Camp with One Bills Live coming up at 1 o'clock here on WGR.